Amen. And what a wonderful day it has been. Thank you for being here and being in your place and being here tonight. And it seems like we just barely started. And I guess we probably did. But already it zipped by and June will be here before you know it. Well, I was sitting back there thinking, well, we'll have a new president by June. I thought, no, we won't. We won't. It'll just be even more exciting than it is already. Amen. Hard to tell what kind of good things will happen before June. Amen. Hang on. It's going to be an exciting year. Amen. And then next year will be even more so. Who knows what we're going to have next year at this time. It could be really exciting, you know. Couldn't it though? Listen, we could have a socialist president. We could have a fascist president. We could have a socialist fascist president. But it's hard to tell. We could have an honest one. Who knows? That's a long shot, but it could happen. Who knows? I know. That's just pipe dream there, I guess. Okay, all right. Take your Bible, if you would, and turn to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter number 6. Would you find that? Would you stand with me as we read the Word of God? Thank you, Brother Sal, for letting us come. We enjoy coming. We look forward to coming. We enjoy being here with you folks. And we just hope that you don't get sick of us. And if you do, just don't tell us. And then we'll just be happy and we won't know any different, okay? Joshua chapter 6, verse number 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets, and it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. Now go, if you would, all the way over to verse number 20. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can be here tonight. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this pastor and these people. Many of these folks who've been faithful here for a long, long time. Lord, some who've just barely started the journey. Lord, I pray that 30 years from now, should you tarry your coming, they will have been here that long and be faithful. God, I pray that you'd continue to bless Hope Baptist Church. Make the years to come even greater than the years that are already past. Lord, we just ask that tonight, as we look into your word, that you would encourage us and strengthen us and challenge us and rebuke us and do all the things that need to be done. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Here in Joshua chapter 6, you know the story. They've come to the city of Jericho. After 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, they've come into the promised land and they've seen God miraculously part the Jordan River and they cross on dry ground. And then the first obstacle that they come to is this massive city. And now they've got to figure out what to do, and God gives them the instruction and says, I want you to march around the city every day, and while you go around that city, I want you to be quiet. You can't talk. You can't do any of that stuff. And then on the 7th day, I want you to go around 7 times and then shout and blow the trumpets. And when you do that, then I'll win the battle for you. Now, that seems a little odd as far as battle plans go. However, it was God's plan, and by faith, they did what God said. And they went and they marched around the city, and they did it all those days, and they got all done. And on the seventh day, after the seventh time, they blew the trumpets, they shouted, and the walls fell down, and they saw God win a great victory. It's a wonderful, wonderful story. But here's what I want you to think about for just a few minutes, and that is, what if they hadn't done it? What if they hadn't? Well, we know that the Israelites were sometimes prone to not do what God told them to do. Remember when they first came out of Egypt, they were supposed to go into the promised land, and they didn't do that. And that didn't turn out very well for them. And there were plenty of other times when God told them to do things, and they didn't do it. So it's not out of the realm of the possibility that they would just simply not do what they're told to do. Kind of like us. It's all possible that, you know, we would just refuse to do what God wants. And I've often thought about these people as they're marching around this wall. You know, all too often, we forget that these are real people. We start to think that these are just fairy tales and stories with good morals. These are not just stories and fairy tales. These were real people. These were people just like us, who felt like we feel, who thought like we think, who reacted like we react, and just put yourself in that story. Joshua says, we're going to march around this wall, and we're going to do it all week. We're going to do it every day, and we start off, and probably the excitement level was high on day one. I would think it was. And they march around the wall, and they're all excited because God's going to do something special, and everybody wants to see God do something special. So they march around the wall, and day one is over, and they make their camp, and they talk about how exciting it's going to be. And day number two, they get out there, and they march around the wall again, and it's still exciting because they are going to see God do great things. And they're looking at that wall, and the people inside are terrified. We know from the testimony of Rahab, they've already heard of the God of Israel. The people inside are scared. And the Israelites are marching around, and the people inside are just hiding out and hoping for the best. And as they march around, they're probably expecting to see God do something. Because we always expect to see God do something, right? And day number two, they march around, and the excitement level is still high, and they make camp, and they spend the night. And day number three, they get ready, and they go around again. And by day number three, knowing human nature, as they walk around the wall, they're saying, that should be getting a little shaky by now. It should have some signs of weakness. It should have some signs of movement just to show us that God is doing something. And it seems just as strong as it was on day one. And they're a little puzzled by that. And they get done after day three and make camp. And that night they're saying, shouldn't we be seeing some results? If we're going to put in this kind of effort, shouldn't there be some results? And they're talking back and forth. And day number four, they get out and they march around again. And the wall's just as strong as it was on day one. And now the people inside are not scared anymore. Now the people inside are looking out and thinking, something's wrong with those people. Why are they marching around our wall? Why are they doing that? They don't have weapons. They're not prepared to fight. They're just marching around the wall. By day number five, I would guess now, I hope when we get to heaven we can watch the replay. But I'm guessing by day five, as they march around, the people inside are probably throwing stuff out the windows. Wouldn't you do that if there was an invading army marching around your wall? Of course you would. And by day number five, they figured these people are just going to march in circles. Let's pick off as many as we can while they march around. And they're yelling at them, and they're throwing things out the windows, and it's not pleasant now marching around, and the wall is still strong. By day number six, they probably, being good Baptist folks, got a committee together. They were Southern Baptists. And they got together, and they probably came to Joshua and said, Joshua, are you sure this is what God said? I know, it sounded like a good idea, and it was fine, days 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but the wall is not weakening. Nothing is happening. We're not seeing any results, and it appears that God's not really doing anything, and we're wasting our time, and it's starting to get dangerous walking around this wall. They're throwing stuff down, and they're dumping stuff on us, and they're laughing at us, and they're mocking us, and this is not right. Are you sure this is what God told you? Because if you're sure this is what God told you, we'll do it again. But if you're not sure, we might just get rid of you. That was always implied in Israel. David got that implication a time or two when things didn't go his way. It's a lost a battle. Oh, let's kill David. It's kind of like churches. Amen. Things didn't go the way we should. Let's just kill the preacher. Let's do that. And when in doubt, kill the preacher. We'll start over. See what happens. And Joshua said, no, God told me. I'm sure God told me. So we got to go. And so day 6, they march around again. There's still nothing happening to the wall. It's as strong as ever. It's not shaky. It's not cracked. There's no problem with it. And it's just standing there strong. And God's not doing anything that they can see. And they're starting to get frustrated. And they're complaining when they pack it in at night. And they're sitting around the campfire saying, I don't want to go. My feet are sore. It's hot out there. Somebody dumped something on my head and it hurt. And I don't want to go anymore. And day number 7, they've got to go around 7 times. 7 times. And it's hot and miserable and unpleasant, and it's scary, and they're getting yelled at, and they're getting accosted from the walls, and they're going around, and they get all the way down to the end, and Joshua said, okay, shout and blow the trumpets. And they shouted and blew the trumpets, and the wall fell down. What if they'd stopped after the 4th day? What would have happened to the wall? Nothing. That's exactly right. The wall would have stayed right there. What if they'd have stopped after the 6th day? What would have happened to the wall? Nothing. What if they'd have stopped after the 4th time on the 7th day? Nothing. You see, what they had to do was go all the way to the very end, go as far as God said they were supposed to go, and then blow the trumpets and shout, just like God said. And when they did everything God said, then all of a sudden, although there had been no sign of the working of God up to that point, boom, everything changed. Everything changed. Here's what I want you to know tonight. It's really very simple. It's just that it's too soon to quit. It's too soon to quit. Listen, 37 years is wonderful. But it's too soon to quit now. Don't sit back now and say, well, we can coast for another 20 years. No, you can't. Churches that coast die. That's what they do. They start to coast and they die. You don't stop. You don't quit. You don't let up, because it's not over yet. It's not time. It's too soon to quit. You say, well, when can we quit? When the trumpet sounds.
That's right.
Then you can leave it to the Mormons. Amen. Or the deacons, or whoever. It's too soon to quit until you've gone just as far as God would have you to go, and you've fulfilled all that God would have you to fulfill. It is too soon to quit, and if you quit now, you miss out on the best stuff. So, well, what we've had has been wonderful. Yes, the best stuff is yet to come. It's yet to come. Don't quit now. Don't stop now. Don't let up now. It's too soon to quit doctrinally. It is. I don't know what's going on in the world, but people are jumping ship doctrinally all over the place. Just crazy stuff. I do not understand the appeal of Reformed theology. I don't understand what that is at all. I don't understand the appeal. It's a bad theology. It doesn't line up with the Word of God. It's disproven in reality and in the Word of God over and over and over. It's the best way to kill a church ever invented. And yet people jump ship from the Bible and end up in Reformed theology of all things. What's the problem? Well, they just gave up doctrinally because they weren't seeing what they wanted to see. They weren't seeing the results immediately they thought they ought to see, so they jumped ship and went somewhere else. If it's not Reformed theology, it's preterism or post-trib rapture or amillennialism or any number of wacky things going around today that people are glomming onto and jumping ship for just because they're not seeing the results they want with what the Word of God has to say. You know what we need to do? We need to just confirm in our hearts we're going to stick with what this book says. We're going to stand on it and we're going to stay there. It's too soon to quit doctrinally. It doesn't matter if everybody else quits. It's too soon to quit. Somebody's got to stay with the Word of God. Somebody's got to stand doctrinally on truth. You have to. It's too soon to quit. I've been getting this junk in the email, and I was reading part of it because it was interesting concept and interesting interpretation of some verses. But I knew by what the guy was saying that there was a catch. I was just waiting for the other shoe to drop. And I knew, I could tell, you know, there were some interesting ideas, but there was just something that wasn't, something was not right. And finally, a couple weeks ago, the other shoe fell. And I found out where the guy's coming from. And he's referring to the rapture cult. And so I'm reading all the stuff, and people who believe in the rapture, well, that's just a cult, you know, and that was just a recent invention and all this kind of stupid. No, that's the Bible. It's in the Bible. You have to throw out a bunch of Bible not to believe that we're going to be taken out of here. Thank God we're going to be taken out of here. Listen, it's too soon to quit doctrinally. It's too soon. It's too soon to quit morally. I know that society changes. I know that the morals of society have changed. I know that the things that pass as moral and upright and normal today are things we didn't even talk about when I was a kid. I understand that. That doesn't mean it's right. And we ought not follow suit. Amen? We need to stand morally. We need to stand on the Word of God. Just about the time you think everybody understands what it means to believe the King James Bible is the Word of God, somebody sneaks something in there. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. These people claiming to believe the Bible who don't believe the Bible. And they just don't want to say that. Most of them because they're looking to get your students in their school. I'm smiling at you. Amen. And we know better, and we send kids off to these educational destruction factories, and they come back with any spark of spirituality crushed out of their bodies, and a disdain for the Word of God and those who believe it. Listen, if that King James Bible is not the Word of God, then we really don't have the Word of God at all. We just don't have it. If that's not it, we don't have it, and we might as well quit pretending that we do. But we have it. Amen? Thank God we have it. And it's perfect, and it is pure, and it is preserved, and it is all that wonderful stuff and more. Amen? It's too soon to quit. I know that people find that offensive, and they find that odd, and they find it extreme. But it's right. Amen? It's too soon to jump ship. It's too soon to quit. It's too soon to quit on separation. We ought to be different from the world. We ought to be. And I know that our flesh pulls us toward the world and wants to be more like the world. But we need to fight that, and we need to ask the Spirit of God to help us not to give in to that. We need to be more like Christ, not more like the world. It's too soon to quit. It's too soon to quit on outreach. I know people don't flock to us in the numbers they once did. They don't. There was a day you could put up a sign out in the street and say revival meeting, and lost people would show up to visit. Now you can beg and plead for weeks on end, and church members won't show up. Things are different than they used to be. You say, well, then that means it doesn't work anymore, and we just have to give them what they're looking for. No, that's not what we have to do. We just have to be faithful. Amen. We just have to be faithful. Just stick with it. Keep trying to reach people with the gospel. Just keep after it. The return may be slower, but that's just where we are. That means we're going to have to work harder than they used to have to work. That's all. It's too soon to quit. Too soon to quit on service. So I've been teaching Sunday school here for 30 plus years. Well, don't quit now. Amen. What do you want to do? Quit and turn it over to some young guy that's going to mess up your class? You don't really trust him, do you? Don't do that. Listen, as long as you're physically able, you show up and you serve. You serve. And your area of service may change over the years. Your opportunities of service can be different, and the people you work with might be different, but your desire to serve God and your responsibility to serve God don't change. It doesn't matter how long you've been here and how old you are and all the rest. You need to find an area of service and jump in there and get on it and stick with it. Amen? I don't care if you're an usher. You'll be the best usher there ever was at Hope Baptist Church. There are bad ushers. There are good ushers. Be a good one. Amen? You don't have any bad ones here. You sing in the choir, you be the most faithful choir member. You may not be the best singer, but you can be the guy who's always there. Amen? And if you'll always be there, God will use you. He will. You be faithful and you be there and you serve and you don't quit and you don't stop. You say, well, why not? Well, because it's too soon. It's not over yet. It's too soon to quit, and you don't want to be found sitting back resting when the Lord shows up. You want to be found serving. You want to be found working. You see, these people, as they're going around this wall, they have to continue on to the very end, or else they're not going to see the victory that God has prepared for them. And I believe the same thing is true for us. If we stop, if we quit, if we give up, we're only going to miss out on what God has for us down the road. You don't want to miss out on what God has. Just think about the people who were here 20 years ago. What if the people who were here 20 years ago in the previous location said, you know, this is just too much trouble. This is just a pain in the neck. We're just not going to stand anymore. We don't want to be the odd church in town. We're not going to be so strident about the Bible, and we're not going to worry about separation, and we're not going to worry about all the rest. You know where you'd be today? You wouldn't be here. It's because somebody didn't quit 20 years ago that you're sitting here tonight enjoying what you're enjoying. And if the Lord tarries his coming, there will be people sitting here 20 years from now who ought to be able to say, thank God those people back there after being here for 37 years didn't quit. They kept on going. There are churches who 20 years ago, 30 years ago, were strong, vibrant, growing churches that preached the gospel and believed the Bible, and today they're either non-existent or they've completely changed. You don't want that to be this place. So that could never happen here. It could happen here. It could happen here if you quit on God. Just don't quit on God. It's too soon to quit. You see, the testimony of God is at stake. It's not about what people think about you. It's all about what people think about our God. The testimony of God is at stake. And when you look at some church, we were in Arizona last weekend. We were in Mesa, Arizona last weekend. And we were there, and on Saturday, the preacher was driving me around a little bit, and we went over, and he was going to show me this church building that had a great big Christian school, and they had run about 800 people, and it was a gospel preaching church, and some of the kids from their church had gone to the Christian school there. But the pastor had just retired 3 years previous, and another guy came in and took over. A proponent of Reformed theology, by the way. In 3 years' time, he had taken those 800 people down to about 120 and sold the building to the Hindus. Hindus. It is a Hindu cultural center sitting in Mesa, Arizona. And they got it at a dirt cheap price. And I know this sounds like a lot, but if you know about buildings and land, you know it's not. $1.4 million. 1,000-seat auditorium, school buildings, acres of property for $1.4 million to the Hindus. That's pathetic. You know what happened? Somebody, somewhere along the line, quit on God. That's what happened. Somebody quit on God. And it ought not be that way, because the testimony of God is at stake. When people drive by and say, oh yeah, that used to be that church, now it's the Hindu thing. How does that reflect? Well, it doesn't reflect on individuals, it reflects on God. You better believe the Hindus think it reflects on our God. You know what they're saying. See, look, here we are. They're gone and we're still here. And they're reflecting on our God, shame and disgrace. That's sad. Don't ever let that happen here. Amen. But in order for that not to happen, you've got to determine in your heart you're not going to quit on God. The testimony of God is at stake. When we see some Christian fall or some prominent pastor mess up and destroy his life and his ministry, it ought not make us feel good. I don't care if they're just like us or not. It ought not make us feel good. Because people don't make the distinctions that we make. You know, when they see some pastor somewhere off in immorality and all that, they don't know that there's a difference between the ooey-gooey party church and Hope Baptist Church. They don't know. And all they know is it's one more Christian who was a hypocrite. And it doesn't reflect poorly on us. It reflects poorly on our God. And the most important thing is the testimony of our God. In 2 Samuel chapter number 12, verses 13 and 14, the prophet Nathan came to David and he said, David, God's going to judge you because you've given occasion to the enemies of God to blaspheme. You see, the problem was that he had reflected poorly on God. And we ought never do that. The testimony of God is at stake. It's just too soon to quit. And it's too soon to quit because there are those who depend on us. Just think about the children of those families. If they thought, we don't want to go around the wall. We don't want to be involved in this. This is too much trouble and our feet hurt and we're sore and we have aches and pains. Well, if they'd refused to go, they would have been outside the camp of Israel. And they wouldn't have gotten to go any further into the promised land. And they'd have missed out on the blessings of God. So for the good of their families, those fathers had to say, we're going. Because there were those who depended on them. There were those who depended on them to keep going, and it's still true. Listen, moms and dads, if we quit on God, it's not just us. It's our kids. It's our grandkids. And the chances are, if we quit on God, so will they. And that's not going to be good on down the line. There are those who depend on us, not just saved people, not just our children, but the lost as well. The lost as well. Do you remember when the spies came in and found Rahab the harlot? She was depending on them to do what they said they were going to do. She and her family were dependent upon the fact that they were going to believe God and see those walls come down. That was her only hope. Listen, there are lost people who, if we quit on God, their hope is gone. Where you work, where you spend your time, you might be the only genuinely saved person they know. And if you quit on God, who's going to be there when they need help? Who's going to be there? Some religious cult or something else that's going to try to fill the void when the Christian is given up on God and he's not there anymore? Shame on us. We need to be there for those who are coming after us, for those who are depending on us. We need to be examples to those around us. Chances are, the people you work with, even though you've never told them, they know exactly where you go to church. They've found out somehow. Somebody whispered it to them. Somebody said, oh, don't invite him. He goes to that church. Don't tell him where we're going after work. He goes to that church. And they don't do that because they're weird. No, that's a horrible testimony. No, it's not. That's a good testimony. Amen. The best thing is if you get a chance to explain to him why you don't do those things. It's not because of this church. It's because of that book and your relationship with God. Amen. That's why you don't go those places and do those things. See, there are those who depend on us. There are saved folks who depend on us to keep going. There are lost folks who depend on us to keep going. And it's too soon to quit because the job is not finished. How many people live in Toledo? Does anybody know? How many? Oh my goodness. 300,000. Well, I don't think we could get them all in here. Looks like there's a lot more work to do in there. I mean, that God has put you here. This is your field. I mean, you're supposed to reach these people with the gospel, right? Well, looks like we still have some work cut out for us, don't we? We don't have quite 300,000 in here. There's still a few left. There's still some out there. It tells us in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, the harvest is plenteous. The laborers are few. Thank God we get to be laborers. We get to be part of that harvest. But the job is not finished. Listen, even if everybody in Toledo got saved tomorrow, you know, if God wrote John 3:16 across the sky and everybody looked up and believed and trusted Christ and was gloriously saved tomorrow, the job still wouldn't be finished. It wouldn't. Because the Great Commission is more than having people saved. It's then getting them baptized and teaching them all things. He said, whatsoever things I've commanded you. That's a long, hard process. If they all get saved, then the work's just starting. There's a lot of work. Oh, there's plenty yet to do. It's too soon to quit because the job is not finished. And it's too soon to quit because someone is coming behind you. Again, 20 years from now, a bunch of people who are here now won't be here. Listen, 20 years from now, we'll all be a lot older. And realistically, some of us won't be around. Things being what they are in the world. That's just reality, amen? But there'll be somebody sitting in those spots. There'll be somebody that comes after. There will. You saw all those kids stand up here singing tonight. Didn't they do a wonderful job? They need Hope Baptist Church to be here in 20 years. They're coming along after. And all they have right now is mom and dad and Sunday school and doing what they're told and what they're supposed to. But they're going to develop wonderful relationships with God. And they're going to need a place to learn and grow and serve just like you have. Somebody's coming after you. And they are hot on your trail. Amen. They are coming. So nobody's following me. Yeah, they are. They are. You don't even realize it. You see some of these little bitty guys? Teenagers? You know these little teeny people? These itty bitty people? They think you are amazing. They're dumb as rocks. They are. They don't know any better. They look at you and you're tall. And they think if you're tall, you're awesome. Because they're short. Amen? It's all a matter of perspective. They're just little bitty people and they look at them. Wow. I want to be like him. I want to be like her. You know what that means? That means you better do right. Because those little bitty people are looking at you. Moms and dads. Oh, I know. Sometimes the teenagers pretend they aren't looking at you. And the last thing in the world they want is to be like you. But one day they're going to look in the mirror and find out they are you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But you are. I know that hurts. That hurts your heart, doesn't it? But trust me, it'll happen. You will hear things your parents said come out of your mouth that you promised would never come out of your mouth. Something about having children does that to you. It just messes up your brain and you become your parents. That means they better have the right kind of parents. Because that's what they're going to be in 20 years. And they're going to be doing what you do and saying what you say. And they're going to be as faithful as you are. So you better not quit on God now. We were in a church just a couple weeks ago. And we went to a family's house to eat before the service and came back that night and found out that they almost didn't come to church that night. Because, you know, they'd gone to all the trouble of feeding us. And it would just be too much trouble to go to church after that. Well, we went to church after that. Yeah. And then they didn't even show up the last night of the meeting. They just had other things to do. Huh? And the wife stayed home Sunday night because that was the only time she has to herself. She sent the husband and the kids to church and she stayed home because that's her alone time. It's hard to be spiritual when people say stuff like that, you know? It really is. You know what I want to say? Grow up. Grow up. That's pathetic. Amen? What in the world do you expect your children are going to... How faithful are they going to be when they see that kind of pathetic behavior from their parents? I'll tell you how faithful they're going to be. They're not. They're not. And unless something miraculous happens, they probably won't even be in church 20 years from now because they'll be following their mother's example. I'm not a great dad by any stretch of the imagination. But when all is said and done, I don't want to give my kids an excuse to not be faithful. If nothing else, if they can look and say, he was faithful. Maybe he did wrong things and said stupid stuff and all the rest, but he believed he was supposed to be there and he was there. Listen, if I can't give them anything else, I'm going to give them that. Amen? And we can all give them that. Someday they're going to be here. And there'll be a whole new group of little teeny people running around. And have you noticed they just keep growing? I was just telling Brother Sal at lunch today, I remember the first time that I met the Marshall family. And we were at this thing in Phoenix. And John was telling me how he was interested in this preacher's daughter in Ohio. And I said, tell me more. And he told me who she was and where she was. And I said, oh, I know who that is. And now here they sit. Amen. All those years have already gone by. And here they are raising their kids to stand up here and be involved in serving God. And Lord willing, they will train their kids to be up here involved serving God. And they will train their kids to be up here involved serving God. That's how this thing works. The whole while we're reaching out to people all out there, we don't give up on what's in here, and we keep building and we keep growing and we keep being faithful to the work of God. There are those coming after us, and we better leave them something worth having. I could take you to churches tonight that are not worth having, where the people are just looking for something else and something better, and when somebody has a better show down the street, they'll be there next week. But there's something worth having here because you believe the book and you stand on the word of God and you preach the truth. And that's what you still need to be doing 20 years from now and 30 years from now and 40 years from now should the Lord tarry his coming. It's too soon to quit. And the only way you'll see that come to fruition is if you decide you're just going to keep going. When things are going well, you're going to keep going. And when things are not going well, you're going to keep going. And when people are yelling at you from the wall and throwing things at you, you're still going. Keep going because it's not done yet. It's not over yet. And any time before the last time around and the trumpet and the shout is too soon to quit. Too soon to quit. I hope that I can be here for the 50th anniversary. Can I come for that one? You get me a wheelchair and I'll... You got to get a ramp. Oh, I see. We got a ramp up here. You're ready. You're ready. Yeah. Amen. And you know what I'm going to tell you on the 50th? Exactly the same thing. Because that's what you got to do. Just keep on going. Don't stop now. Oh, you're going to go through periods where you're discouraged. That's life. You're going to go through periods where you think you're spinning your wheels and nothing's working and God's not moving and nothing's happening. That's all right. You just keep marching. You just keep marching because God's not done yet. And when you hear the trumpet and the shout, then you can breathe a sigh of relief and kick up your feet and relax. Amen. And then we'll talk about it in heaven. But now, it's too soon to quit. Let's stand together and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. We could be here for these last couple of days. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to celebrate an anniversary. Lord, help us not to think of it as a place to stop. Help us to think of it as a place from which we can go forward, where we can do more, where we can reach more people, where we can touch more lives, where we can see more amazing things done by the power of God, where we can see victories won, we can see prayers answered, we can see lives changed. God, we need to see that, and we need to see even more of it than we ever have before. Help us to be faithful. Lord, I believe with all my heart what the world needs to see most is faithful Christians who, even when things are hard, even when things are difficult, are still faithful, still following you, still serving you, and not giving up. God, help us to be those people. We'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.